Good morning to you, sisters and brothers in Christ, saints, sinners, children of God. Jesus came to bring fire to the earth, and how he wishes that it was already kindled. Now, this gospel that we read this morning is one of those that we just have to sit down and really think about, really try to figure out what Jesus is saying, because really, to be honest with you, there's some really troubling imagery in here. You know, it's not the scariest thing that Jesus ever said, but it's certainly not one of those gospels that talk about God's love for us, about how we must love one another and our neighbors, about how this great sacrifice of our Lord and the great love that sacrifice he made for us was done for us. Now, this gospel message is about division and strife, and it certainly puts an ominous tint on the coming times. Now, in last week's gospel passage, we heard Jesus saying, "Fear not, little flock." And with confidence, Jesus proclaimed God's desire to provide his people with a glorious kingdom in which to dwell for all time. And while the text in that week's gospel message about this thief that comes at any moment may have been a little bit of an unusual analogy for how God responds or how God is envisioning his arrival, we're still uplifted by the fact that this faith that we have come so far by, this faith that brought us so far, keeps us going, and the kingdom we have will indeed be at hand. And so when we listen to today's text, we have to put it on top of last week's text as well. And the text from this week might be about the here and now. It might be about the far future. And we might even decide that it's about the near future for those people that were traveling with Christ. Maybe it's about the early church. It starts out, "I have come to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it was already kindled." Now, with the state that Israel was in, being ruled by the overlords, the Romans, and having these priests in power who were basically, you know, filled with their own self-interests, and these ruling class, and then the Pharisees who sought to inflict their will upon everybody else, there was certainly a division of classes going on at that time. Who can blame Jesus? And we look at Jesus' inaugural sermon. He said he was to come to bring sight to the blind and to free the captives. And guess what? By the time he was crucified, there were yet blind folks still all over Israel, and more people in a state of captivity than ever before. Actually, what does that remind you of? Jesus had quite a message, and there were quite a few ears to hear it. There were quite a few people to follow it. But to set the world on fire, at least in political terms, was going to take quite a bit more action than his rather meager following when you look at the perspective of them versus the entire population was going to be able to accomplish at least anytime soon. And to turn the world around, evil was still going to take place. We have 2,000 years of history that tell us that evil still took place. Wars would still be fought. People would still die unnecessarily. The poor would still be trampled upon. Even the good news that Jesus was bringing would not make any clear political differences to the world at large. And you might say, well, what about 300 years later? Even the church that suffered under the threat of persecution for so many, for three centuries, would become complacent itself. Because when Emperor Theodosius of the Roman Empire, which was now housed in Constantinople, made Christianity the state religion. And so it basically Christianity suddenly spread to everybody. Almost mandated. And then it was mandated. And people were baptized when they were children, not through any specific reason other than the fact that they were born in the empire. And Christian became something that one simply was rather than what one felt or something that involved a deep change in one's spirit. One was born into the faith. And while the church began to be the central governor of people's lives, it was not so much to work people's souls to a better place as it was to imbue morality. And sometimes it was a morality that was adverse to the kindness and love and the goodness of human nature. And so division and strife continued to happen, with the Eastern and the Western church dividing. And then later on with the Protestant Reformation, with national borders and within denominations, and even with the Christian church being the church that was spread to every continent, having a foothold among all peoples through missionary work and empire spreading, people continued to fight one another despite them being Christian people. Christian people fought Christian people. And sometimes it happened within families. But my sisters and brothers, the people that who Jesus were speaking, the people who were following Jesus, were often those that had been rejected themselves from their homes. They were the ones that had been outcast, whether because of disease or disfigurement or perceived sins. And when Jesus called his disciples, he called them to stop what they were doing, to drop everything, drop the nets, drop the treasury work, drop whatever you're doing, leave your families, leave your wives. Maybe sometimes the wives came with them, but we don't always know that. Leave everyone, follow me. And they did. And so to hear the news that father would be divided against son and mother against daughter may have not been that big of a surprise to the people following Jesus. They, despite the central place and importance that family held in Hebrew society. And you know, how many of us know what it feels like to be rejected by one's family? I'm not, maybe not even rejected for all time, maybe rejected for a period of time, but I know many of us know what that feels like. These were people who were rejecting a way of life that their ancestors had felt for centuries, to learn something new. And that this law that they'd lived under for so long had now been fulfilled, and they were living in a time of gospel. Gospel, good news. Gospel, good news. And so this passage, somewhat of a predictor of the coming times, is not so much telling us about what God wants, because I don't really think God wants us to be divided against one another. I don't think God is saying, Jesus is saying that you must be divided against each other. Not at all. But he's talking about what was actually going on in the world, and that carrying the message that he carrying the message that his followers were carrying to declare the good news in the streets, sometimes meant people were going to reject you. It sometimes meant they were going to throw rotten fruit and vegetables at you. It sometimes meant you were going to be locked up. It sometimes meant that you were going to be put in an arena with lions. People are divided. There are clouds on the horizon, and there will be a coming storm that will be difficult for us to navigate. And the signs that are there are in front of the people who Jesus was talking to's eyes. Now, it might not come as a surprise to us, to people, that doing God's work is not always easy. Who can tell me that doing God's work is always easy, right? The kingdom of God is not something that we, God's creatures, can create or impose in the world. People will always have self-interest. There is going to be conflict and strife. Even among the people of God, the people of the faith, there will be strife and division. People are going to disagree, argue, and fight because we all have different goals, and sometimes our goals don't necessarily match up to one another. And Jesus' gospel really only threatens the life of people who are comfortable with their day-to-day existence. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel that, from the very start, one that claims to cast the mighty down from their thrones and uplift the humble of heart. But because we fear upsetting the boat, we fear making people angry. Because let me tell you, my sisters and brothers, Christians can sometimes be the most passive of people, right? Sometimes we're afraid to say what really needs to be said because we don't want somebody looking at us and telling us that we're absolutely wrong or rejecting us. I don't like being rejected, I'll tell you that. I don't like, when somebody says they don't like me, where I feel like somebody doesn't like me for whatever reason, I want to find out why that is. I want to dig and dig and dig and find out why they don't like me. Instead of just accepting the fact that not everybody I ever meet is going to like me. I mean, who is loved universally? It's a lot easier to just shut up about injustice. It is easy to shut up about injustice, particularly when it doesn't affect us directly. Or at the very least, leave passive-aggressive notes for one's neighbor. Unsigned, thank you, anonymous. I had the word anonymous here. Thank you, Carl. Unsigned passive-aggressive notes for one's neighbor than it is to outright speak out against the worst forms of injustice. And sometimes we don't even make sacrifices because we know that other people aren't going to make them. And we know, even when we know the sacrifices are going to be for the better, isn't it easier for us all just to stop driving and take public transportation? They might even improve the public transportation system in the Bay Area if everybody did that, right? And it's hard to make time to do the world-changing things because we're afraid we're not going to get home to catch the 49ers game. We're in the East Bay, right? I think sometimes it's still the 49ers. I don't know how many Raiders fans are in my congregation. I don't see a lot of hats, so I'm going to say 49ers for this. Okay, we got a Raiders fan here. Or to catch the latest episode of The Voice, and I know everybody isn't excited about The Voice in here. I don't know what everybody watches on TV, to be honest with you. I have my own little things I watch. But it's easier to reshare an article on Facebook because the headline gets us excited instead of actually digging into what the article says and reading it critically, or to do something about what's taking place in the article. We will opt for the convenient solution rather than the heavenly one because it is the easiest thing we can do. I'm not saying we do that every time, but we do that. But sisters and brothers, sometimes I look at what's going on in the world and I say, God, I want to change this. Why won't everybody agree with what I'm saying or how I feel? But we are at a time in history that even if it sounds hopeless, it is so far from hopeless. It is far from helpless. Now, I feel very special coming in here today because my first day at Lutheran Church of the Cross, I wasn't ordained yet, but my first day at Lutheran Church of the Cross was just over a year ago. So I have my anniversary of being here has just passed. And it means my ordination anniversary is coming up too. That's really exciting. August 30th, if you want to write it down, August 30th. And I have to admit, I have a few dreams about what I was going to accomplish while I was here my first year, right? You know, sometimes those dreams fall by the wayside. I was going to walk around the neighborhood and get to know all the neighbors in the neighborhood and find out who lives around the neighborhood. That hasn't happened. So granted, a lot of the neighbors come here, but a lot of them don't. And I still don't have this really strong idea of who lives in the neighborhood. And I had a limited knowledge of what Lutheran Church's history was all about. Particularly, you know, my knowledge of this church really only extended to Pastor Sarah's later part of her, the later part of Pastor Sarah's time here. And I didn't know what took place before, and I've learned so much about all that. But I was coming to a church that it felt like was in a steady decline, not like, you know, super high decline, but a steady decline, and only a few ideas about how to get that turned around. And I'm glad to say that finally, over the last few months, I feel like that while we've got a lot of work ahead of us going forward, that we're going to take some steps to ensure that not only the important ministries here at LCC will continue, and that the safety and the condition of our facilities will improve, but that they're going to turn around and it's going to thrive. And I really feel that deeply. I really feel that deeply. I've been getting positive feelings everywhere I go in the church and with everyone I talk to. And so Jesus says, "How I wish it were already kindled." My sisters and brothers, the fire is here. It is kindling. On our own, we weak and frail human beings cannot enact God's kingdom. But we can live our lives as best we can, allowing His Spirit to come upon us and transform us and empower us to be the vessels that God intends us to be. And we can try to imitate the kingdom today as best we can. We don't know what God's kingdom entails, but we know it certainly involves love for one another and treating with each other with respect and treating each other with the humanity that we expect to be treated. Giving God's gift of love to one another and living out the gospel by doing the work that He commands us to do. Now I want to read just a little bit because I have to acknowledge the second lesson that we read today from Hebrews, and particularly the passage from Hebrews 12, which reads, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings to so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken a seat at the right hand of God, right hand of the throne of God. And this great cloud of witnesses, even while we're not always Christ-like, we yet persevere and cling to the faith that is God's holy name. Sisters, brothers, God calls you to live out that fire that is His burning spirit within you. Do not be afraid when that spirit kindles in you, calls out your name, speak out in the name of justice, and to share His good news in the world. Amen.